जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय जसोर नन्न ब्रज जन रंजन जसोर नन्न ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, कपि जन जसोर नन्न ब्रज जन रंजन जसोर नन्न ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 रे हरे हरे राम हरे राम 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 रे हरे Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo. Jaya Radha Shama Sundara, Radha Shama Sundara. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura
Paramahamsa Priraja Kachaja Asto Terasata Sri Siman His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Gurusami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Priraja Kachaja Asto Terasata Sri Siman His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Gurusami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Shikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Bhavanityananda Shadvaita Giradhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogopinashama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhanaki Shri Vrindavan Dhamaki Shri Navadvip Dhamaki Shri Ganga Mai Jamuna Mai Shri Mati Muktalsi Maharani Ki Gantara Shri Madhbhagavatam Ki All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauranga Pichani Nivishesha Shanyani Pashchachare Sukhara. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, chapter 13, text number 62. The title, excuse me, the title of the chapter, Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves. Dvistva tvarena nija doranto vitirya. Dristva trarena nija doranato vatirya. Prithvyam vapuka nakadandami vabhipatya. Sprisva chatura mukuta kut. Koti bir angri yugmam. Natva mud ashra sujalar akrita bishekam. Dvistva tarena nijadura nato vatirya. Prithvyam vapuka nakadandam ivabhipatya. Sprisva chatur mukuta koti birangri yugmam. Natva mud ashru sujalair akrita bishekam. Dristva tvarena nija doranato vitirya. Prithvyam vapuka nakadandam ivavipatya. Sprisva chaturamukuta koti birangri yugmang. Natva mudhashu sunjalaya akrita bishekam. Vaishnavas? Vishva tarena nijadura nato vatirya. Prithvyam vapuka nakadandam vivavipatya. Srisva chatura mukha koti vyamri yukma. Natva mudashru sujalaya akrita bishekam. Dvistva tarena nijadura nato vitirya. Prithvyam vapuka nakadandam ivavipatya. Dvistva chatur mukta koti vyamri yukma. Natva mudashru sujalaya akrita bishekam. Dvistva tarena nijadura nato vatirya. Prithvyam vapuka nakadandam ivavipatya. Svishva chaturmukta koti bir angri yugman. Nadva mudashra sujala akrita bishekam. Vaishnavis. Trisva tarena nijadora natovatiya. Prithyam vapuka nakadandam iva vipatya. Svishva chatur mukta kato angri yugmam. Nadva mudashru sujalar akrita abhishekam. Dvistva tarena nijadura nato vitirya. Prithyam vapuka nakadandam ivapipatya. Svishva chatur mukuta koti vir angri yugmam. Nadva mudashru sujalair akrita abhishekam. Dristva. After seeing, Tvarena, with great speed, hastily, Nijaduranata, from his swan carrier, Avatirya, descended, Prithvyam, on the ground, Vapu, his body, Kanakadandamiva, like a golden rod, Abhipatya, fell down, Spritva, touching, Chatumukta Kotibi, with the tips of his four crowns, Angri Yugmam, the two lotus feet, Natva, making obeisances, Mut Ashrasu Jalai, with the water of his tears of joy, Akrita, performed, Abhishekam, the ceremony of bathing his lotus feet. Translation. After seeing this, Lord Brahma hastily got down from his swan carrier, fell down like a golden rod, and touched the lotus feet of Lord Krishna with the tips of the four crowns on his heads. Offering his obeisances, he bathed the feet of Krishna with the water of his tears of joy. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma bowed down like a stick, and because Lord Brahma's complexion is golden, he appeared to be like a golden stick lying down before Lord Krishna. When one falls down before a superior just like a stick, one's offering of obeisances is called dandavat. Danda means stick, and vat means like. It is not that one should simply say dandavat. Rather, one must fall down. Thus, Brahma fell down, touching his foreheads to the lotus feet of Krishna, and his crying in ecstasy is to be regarded as an abhishek bathing ceremony of Krishna's lotus feet. He who appeared before Brahma as a human child was in fact the absolute truth, Param Brahma. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti, Sabyute. The Supreme Lord is Narakriti. That is, he resembles a human being. It is not that he is four-armed, Chaturbahu, Narayan is Chaturbahu, but the Supreme Person resembles a human being. This is also confirmed in the Bible, where it is said that man was made in the image of God. Lord Brahma saw that Krishna, in his form as a cowherd boy, was Param Brahman, the root cause of everything, but he was now appearing as a human child. Loitering in Vrindavan with a morsel of food in his hand, astonished, Lord Brahma hastily got down from his swan carrier and let his body fall to the earth. Usually, the demigods never touch the ground, but Lord Brahma, voluntarily giving up his prestige as a demigod, bowed down on the ground before Krishna. Although Brahma has one head in each direction, he voluntarily brought all his heads to the ground and touched Krishna's feet with the tips of his four helmets. Although his intelligence works in every direction, he surrendered everything before the boy, Krishna. It is mentioned that Brahma washed the feet of Krishna with his tears, and here the word sujalai indicates that his tears were purified. As soon as bhakti is present, everything is purified, sarva padi vinir muktam. Therefore, Brahma's crying was a form of bhakti anubhava, a transformation of transcendental ecstatic love. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutalaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shanivari Paschacha Desatane Mukam Kurati Vachalam Pangam Langayate Gadim Yat Kripa Tam Ham Bande Shri Guru Dinatam Omangana Timaram Dasya Venangana Shalaka Chakshur Omanatam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah. So we've heard so much about this Leela, and especially it's a little intense because this chapter is the last chapter that Srila Prabhupada gave his purports for. It's interesting, however, that in reading this purport, it's almost exactly the purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which is also interesting because Prabhupada was in a bed speaking into a microphone very quietly when he translated this and he gave this purport. So still, his purport very clearly reflects that other purport. And a few little interesting things that Lord Brahma, Jiva Goswami explains that Lord Brahma, when he offered his obeisances, because when you have four heads, it's a problem offering obeisances because you can only touch one head to the floor at a time. So he had to get up and fall down again and again because each time he would offer with a different head. And his consolation, we offered somebody a pin in the garland. His only consolation, knowing that only one head could hit the floor at a time, was that the other three heads, or at least another head, could look at Krishna's lotus face. So he was watching Krishna with one head offering obeisances with the other, and the other two waited in line for their turn to come. So this is an interesting difficulty when you have four heads. But really what's happening here is the culmination of a very intense learning experience, because Lord Brahma, he as we've heard so many times, he decided that he was going to test Krishna's godness. It's even described, the acharyas described that at one point when Krishna left to find the calves. And then he couldn't find the calves, and then he came back, and he couldn't find the boys either. He actually started to cry. And then Lord Brahma, he actually was feeling, see, it isn't really Narayan. It isn't really my worshipable Lord, because if this little boy was actually my worshipable Lord, he'd figure out where everybody was and how to take care of the problem, but he's just sitting here and crying. So he thought to himself, yeah, see, I was right. And then he walked away, and then Krishna smiled and manifested all the boys and all the calves. And then we know the story from there. So Lord Brahma, he became overcome by a little bit of pride. And in that prideful situation, he committed an offense. And here, if we think about how kind Krishna is, as Bhaktivatsal, Krishna is the friend of the devotee. And we see the ramifications or the manifestations of Krishna's being a friend of devotees in many places, that he takes the time to give them exactly what they need so that they'll progress on their path back to Godhead or to full realization. With Arjuna, for instance, Arjuna also had a problem. He was in front of the battle of Kurukshetra, and he got cold feet. He got a feeling that maybe I shouldn't fight after all. And so Lord Krishna just stopped everything right in the middle of a battle was going to take place. Armies lined up on both sides, and Krishna just stopped everything and said, "Oh, my devotee, he needs some counseling." And he started a counseling session right on the Battle of Kurukshetra, holding everything at bay until Arjuna was okay. And then he said to him, "Are you okay? You think about this and then do what you want to do." And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that if Arjuna would have said, "No, I don't still feel good about this," Krishna would have spoken the Bhagavad Gita again. So we understand from that Krishna was prepared to do whatever was necessary to bring his devotee to the proper consciousness. Of course, those devotees who have already achieved a proper consciousness, who are fully surrendered to him, who fully realize without a doubt his position, they can even chastise him. And so we can understand also from that experience on the Battle of Kurukshetra that Arjuna was actually under the influence of Yogamaya, so that Bhagavad Gita can be spoken. Because Arjuna was able to say to Krishna, "Take my chariot between the two armies," and Krishna listened to him. He took his order and he went there. So even Arjuna was able to boss Krishna around a little bit. But in this particular instance, also we have an experience here where, for at least some time being, Lord Brahma has become a little bit influenced by pride. And so he needs a little bit of heart cleaning. And in order to arrange for that, Krishna has orchestrated this whole pastime so that Lord Brahma could become free from this pride, at least for this particular time. And so we can see how kind Krishna is, that he sends him, he either takes care of the business himself, or he sends somebody, his devotee, to help the devotees out, to make spiritual advancement that's necessary. And that Lord Brahma, because he was actually a great devotee, because he actually was very qualified, he was able to take the chastisement and feel joy. We see here that although he had gone through this astonishment and he had gone through this, what might be considered a humiliation, which is even going to go on a little bit further, he still was feeling great joy. He recognized his Lord now. He saw his Lord, and he fell down on the ground and offered very beautiful prayers, which we'll hear in the next chapter. And his heart was full of happiness. He was glad that Krishna had taught him this lesson. This humbling lesson was welcome to him. And therefore, there's another indication that he was truly qualified to receive this mercy from Krishna, because he was able to be happy when he gave up his pride. When his pride was stripped away, he was able to be happy. Sometimes we feel very offended or angry when someone suggests that we might be wrong. Like if we're sleeping during japa, someone comes over maybe and wakes us up. We say, I'm not sleeping. What do you mean I was sleeping? I wasn't sleeping. Who are you to tell me I was sleeping? I was in deep meditation. So we become a little defensive or offended, which is an indication that there's pride in the heart, right? There's a pride in the heart. And that because that pride is in the heart, the instructions, they have a hard time. They kind of bounce off. It's like a shield, right? We have this, you know, sometimes when you brush your teeth with Crest, you get a shield on your teeth. So that there's a shield that comes on our heart. And then the instructions of the Lord or the devotee, they bounce off our heart. They don't penetrate deeply because we're protected, or sarcastic way. We're protected from being penetrated by the words of the devotee by our pride. So our pride stands in the way. When we look at the qualifications of advancement in devotional service, we find humility is right at the top of the list, right? In the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna lists what Prabhupada translates as the process of knowledge. And he speaks again and again about the fact that this is a process. It's a system. We have to do it from beginning to end. Processes mean that it starts in one place and it ends in the other. And at the end of the rather long purport to that process of knowledge, Prabhupada says, so the process from the beginning with humility to the end of achieving pure love of God is something that every devotee has to go through. So this humility is like a prerequisite. It's the beginning point. Because, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if you can't admit that you don't know everything, then how can you learn anything? So I was hearing that Srila Prabhupada was asked, Srila Prabhupada, I thought the Shashastakam, those prayers, those eight prayers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have everything in them. Srila Prabhupada said, yes. And so they said, well, where does it say that one has to take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master? And Prabhupada said, Tranadapi suniche na tadoriva sahishnina manina manadena kirtaniya sadahri. Because if one is truly humble, then one will surrender at the lotus feet of a spiritual master. That's the manifestation of true humility. So in order to advance in spiritual life, we have to become humble. And we have to embrace humility, because humility is necessary to chant Hare Krishna and to make spiritual advancement. So if we understand that humility is a prerequisite, then we better know what humility is. We have to identify it. And very often we identify it wrongly. We identify humility in a black and white way. And we say humility means that we feel lowly and we act very meekly, and we don't have any feeling of qualification. And sometimes that may manifest itself in an inability to act, because we feel so humble that we don't feel able to do anything, right? We just cry and feel pathetic. We have a pity party, right? We have a pity party. Oh, I'm so fallen, and I'm so pathetic, and I'm so lowly. And certainly lowly and meekness, these are all qualifications or part of the formula for humility. Prabhupada describes humility in several different ways. One way he describes humility is that it's free from the desire to have other people glorify us. So if one is free from the propensity or the desire to be glorified, that's a kind of humility. If you're fishing for compliments, that's a sign of lack of humility. Also, Prabhupada defines it as being able to understand that you're not that body, that you're a spiritual entity. And what does that mean? It means I'm a servant of Krishna. I'm a servant of Krishna. I'm a servant of the devotees. So realization that I'm not this body, and therefore the purpose of my life is service, the culmination of my life is service to the other devotees, to the other living entities, and ultimately to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's also humility. Anyway, there's many different definitions that Srila Prabhupada gives of humility. However, when we look for humility in the people or in the pastimes of the great devotees, we find that humility looks different in different places, right? We find that Judd Bharat, we see he was very humble. People were throwing things at him, and he was being urinated on, and he was being ridiculed, and so then we think he was so humble. But when he met Rahugana, then his humility took on a different face, isn't it? Rahugana was a king, and he was Judd Bharat became his palanquin carrier. So Judd Bharat was walking a little bit crooked because he didn't want to step on ants. And Rahugana was becoming very disturbed. What is this? My palanquin is lopsided and I'm not having a very comfortable ride. So he got down from his palanquin and he went to the three other drivers who or carriers who'd been there some time. They said, it's not us, it's him, it's that new guy. You know, he's the one. He keeps walking funny and it's throwing the palanquin off. So Rahugana chastised him a little bit, said, oh, you don't look, because Rahugana was, Judd Bharat was very strong, very physically, very well built. He said, you look a little skinny. Maybe you don't have the strength to carry my palanquin. Anyway, and he didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. Again, very humble, very humble. But then a second time it happened. A second time Rahugana got down. A second time Rahugana chastised Judd Bharat. This time he even threatened him. He said, because he wasn't answering him. You know, when you're angry and you're yelling at someone, the most frustrating thing is when the other person doesn't get upset. Doesn't react, I know, from personal experience. So then you want to do something that's going to make them upset. So Rahugana said, I'm going to take a stick and I'm going to hit you with this stick. I'll show you what it... And then Judd Bharat's humility changed. Because his compassion, his feeling of humbleness manifested a form of compassion. Look at this person. This person is a king. And this pride that he has will destroy him. This pride that he has will cause him to take birth again. And so he broke his vow of silence. He left his outward covering of humility. And he spoke very strong words to Judd Bharat. Very strong words. And he called him a fool, and he said to him, you know, he said, I was a king like you before. Actually, the whole country is named after me. You think you're somebody, but I was even a higher king. I was famous. I was big man. And now I'm your pole carrier. And who knows what you're going to be in your next life? You think you're a king, you're a big guy? Well, let me tell you, you may wind up a worm in the stool. You may wind up lower. You better get your act together. And because he took that position, because he risked the anger of the king, and he actually spoke, the king, because he was again qualified, he had some qualification, so he could hear the chastisement of this devotee, and he could take it in his heart. He could take it in his heart. And he reacted again with joy. He reacted with receptivity. He said, oh, you're a great devotee. You're giving me good instruction. Who are you? I looked at your externals and I saw a disheveled madman. And I chastised you and I spoke to you harshly. But now I'm listening to you and I can hear that actually you have my welfare at heart. So this combination of being able to be humble and do the needful, the service that will bring others to Krishna consciousness, that will bring others to the lotus feet of spiritual life, that will raise them up so that they can come to Krishna's lotus feet, that will remove the anarthas from their heart. So humility means that I'm able to do whatever it takes. If it means going door to door, if it means getting laughed at when I go on Sankirtan, if it means getting a little bit abused, Judd Bharat was very abused, if it means taking a strong position and preaching strongly, Srila Prabhupada, he was the most humble, but he was also heavy sometimes. Right? He spoke very, very heavily sometimes. He chastised even very big men, people who thought they were very big men, government officials, and people who thought they were spiritually very advanced. He was very strong with them. We saw, yesterday we were watching Nilachala Mahaprabhu, and we saw Lord Chaitanya speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord Chaitanya was very humble when he came in contact with Sarvabhauma. He offered respects and he said to him, you know, you're such a great scholar, your fame is known. But when he gave him a philosophical discourse that was impersonal, then Lord Chaitanya wasn't so humble anymore. And he took a very strong position. And he didn't embarrass him, he didn't humiliate him, although he did. Sarvabhauma did feel a little bit humiliated first, but Lord Chaitanya spoke to him the absolute truth. He didn't mince words. He spoke to him the absolute truth, that I understand everything about Vedanta, but your words, they don't make any sense to me at all. You're confusing everything, and I can't find the truth in what you say. So the pure devotee, the humble sage, he isn't just outwardly humble. He's inwardly humble, so his humility manifests in whatever needs, whatever service is needed at the moment, whatever will help the living entity come to pure devotion. And on the other side, when he is affected somehow by the modes of material nature and he becomes a little bit contaminated with even the slightest grain of pride, then he's able to hear the instruction of the pure devotee and of Krishna himself, and he's able to feel joy in getting that chastisement and that direction. So these are the two sides of humility. So here Lord Brahma is manifesting this humility in that he was feeling a little bit of pride, and he was chastised. He was chastised by Krishna, and he took that chastisement, and he accepted it deeply into his heart, and so he was able to be purified of that imperfection. So here's another pin. Whoever got this girl only got pinned twice. So this is a lesson to us to be learned, that when we want to make spiritual advancement, we should be humble in both ways. We should be humble to receive chastisement, and we should be humble to do whatever service is necessary. In this, looking through this this subject matter, in contemplating this subject matter, it became clear to me that humility is a very elusive. It's a elusive concept, that if we're not willing to walk away from any preconception of what humility looks like, then we won't recognize humility. Because humility doesn't have a signature beyond the desire to always serve Krishna. And whatever that means at any given moment, that's what it'll look like. So we have to be able to understand the heart of somebody or experience that we have in order to really take a humble position or see humility in others. And that is a level of advancement in itself, to be able to see the humble devotee, to be able to be the humble devotee. Both sides require a great effort on our part to broaden. I was looking at, because Prabhupada speaks about dandavat, and there's a little bit of controversy, because when Srila Prabhupada was here, Malati is coming tomorrow. I just spoke to her on the phone this morning. She's in Atlanta, actually. And she'll be here tomorrow. And she has a personal, axe to grind, in that when she was with Srila Prabhupada, and when we were with Prabhupada also, Prabhupada would encourage women to offer dandavats. So if women got initiated or whatever, then they would offer dandavats. Even Prabhupada sometimes called people back and said, you should offer dandavats. So, but now in our movement, the standard has changed, and you know they have some logical reasons, I suppose, why we no longer offer dandavats. And so sometimes it becomes a little bit of a discussion, and we may not know whether we should offer dandavats or whether we should not offer dandavats. But dandavats are in the heart, really. It's not a matter of physically laying down. I mean, here Srila Prabhupada said, lay down like a stick. But if you lay down like a stick, but your heart is hard, then dandavats are not really there. The dandavats are taking place in the heart. The heart has to lay down like a stick. The heart. And even obeisances, I was looking up, and I was reading in this purport, I thought it was interesting, that we've actually changed the English language. There's no such word as obeisances, by the way. The plural of obeisance is obeisance. It doesn't have an S at the end, okay? But even in this purport, it's written obeisances. And in the verse, it's also written obeisances. So we've actually changed the lexicon of the English language. But if you look at the definition of obeisance, is because we were told the other day that Wikipedia is an absolute source of transcendental knowledge. So I looked up obeisance, and I got homage, respect, tribute, loyalty, devotion, fidelity, reverence, deference, and faithfulness. So obeisance, okay? I offer my obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master. I come into this temple room, or I walk out of this temple room, or I go into other holy places where there are deities or devotees, and I offer obeisances. How many times a day, how many times in a lifetime, how many times in... It's almost an incalculable number, Ananta Koti Vaishnava in the Kija. There's hundreds and thousands of devotees, 100,000 of obeisances, 100... So what are we offering? We're offering homage, respect, tribute, loyalty, devotion, fidelity, reverence, deference, and faithfulness. And how many times when we bow down do we think of those qualities? When we say, if we say, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya or whatever prayer, if we say, sometimes it's so fast up and down that I don't think any of the words actually make it out of the mouth. So obeisance is not a physical activity. It's not like push-ups or yoga postures. It's a consciousness. It's a level of offering our heart in surrender at the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna so that we can be receptive to whatever Guru and Krishna think we need in order to achieve pure devotional service, whatever medicine they care to administer. By arranging, like Lord Krishna did for Lord Brahma, the stealing of the cowboys and calves, or by just letting us interact with the material nature and letting material nature give us a few good punches to the solar plexus. Whatever arrangement Krishna makes, what Guru makes, for bringing out humility in us, for helping us to advance in the path of pure devotional service, we are offering obeisances, we are offering dandavats to Guru and Krishna, begging him, please, you do whatever surgery is necessary. I'm faithful to you, even if you handle me roughly by your embrace or leave me brokenhearted by not appearing before me. Whatever you do, I will remain faithful. I will remain fixed at your lotus feet. I will offer you reverence. I will be honoring of your position, and I remain your fallen servant. So this is the position that Lord Brahma has been able to achieve, and that's why he's feeling joy, even though the experience was a little traumatizing, even though he at times felt a little humbled, and he's going to feel more so, because when he offers all these beautiful prayers to Krishna, Krishna doesn't even say a word. Doesn't even bat an eyelash, doesn't even respond, doesn't nothing. Are you finished yet? Okay, I got my friends over here. I'm like busy. Could you get lost now? But because of that humility, he feels joy. And we also should feel joy when sometimes, once Shrutikirti Prabhu and Harisari Prabhu were here, I don't know if you remember, but they were, it was just before Prabhupada's appearance day or disappearance day, I don't remember. And they were having a competition who got yelled at the most by Srila Prabhupada, who made the biggest mistake. And Harisari won with having locked Srila Prabhupada in his bedroom on the second floor of his house in Vrindavan. He slid the bar from the outside, and Prabhupada couldn't get out to go to the bathroom. And so when he told that story, Shutakirti said, "You won." But these two Vaishnavs, each time they were remembering how they had been chastised, how they had been humbled, it became a source of more and more happiness, more and more joy to them and to the other devotees. Not that they made the mistakes, but that they were able to hear Prabhupada's wise instruction. So I'll end there. If there's any questions, I'll try to answer. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Okay. Haribo. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.